Alright, Jibbo, say good morning. First of all, a very, very, very special dedication today. Our share this morning is dedicated by Moshe Ben Sion and Judy Pacino with incredible gratitude to Hashem on the second anniversary of Moshe Ben Sion's really miraculous survival from his accident. Baruch Hashem, Moshe Ben Sion, thank you for the dedication. And we should be Zocha and Meretz Hashem to be able to learn together, to accomplish together, and to grow together for many years. To come in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she just continued to give you incredible koach and continue the beautiful and wondrous things that you've done.
Amen.
All right, real zuchos. So I'll say, so let's begin. So today's daf is Tzadik Tes 99. So we are picking up. We are picking up at Tzadik Ches Amud Beis 98b. So we're picking up at the Toshma. Toshma. So also remember, the discussion we're engaged in right now. The discussion we're engaged in right now is about whether or not if a shliach goes ahead and deviates from the shlichos and does something that he's not supposed to, and let's say adds on, or for that matter, subtracts from his shlichos. So do we say, let's go with the case of adding on. So do we say that lamaisa, the commission part of the shlichos still stands, but it's the add-on that's voided? Or do we say, no, once you deviate from the terms of your shlichos, so ultimately you've voided the entire shlichos. So Tashma, Haisa Ksuvasa Mana Umachra Shave Mana Vedina Bemana. So let's listen to this. Now the Gemara quotes from the ruling we had yesterday, actually from the Mishnah. If a woman had a ksuva that was worth a mana, and she sold off a piece of property that was worth a mana and a dinar, but she sold it off for a mana, so she undersold the property. So the halacha is michra batal. Her sale is void. My love, dizabin shave mana vedina bemana. Then I will say, now what's the case? Is it not that she sold the property that was worth a mana and dinar for a mana of a dinar, meaning she sold it for the actual amount. Umay bin mana, and what does it mean she sold it for a mana? Bin mana shala. It means that she sold it what? It means that she sold it to satisfy the ksuva debt. And I was about to say, but the Gemara is putting a different spin on this. She has a ksuva worth a mana. She takes a piece of property worth a mana and a dinar, and she goes in and she sells it off for a mana and a dinar. But she's only going to go ahead and keep a mana of it because that's all she's entitled to. Umaya filu hi omeris, umaya filu. What does it mean even? Afilu hi omeris achzir es adino liyarshem bedina mikarkoi. Even if she says, I'm going to go ahead and give back the dinar to the Yarshim in the form of land, and yet, what do we say? V'katani michra batal. And yet it still says her sale is void. And I'll say, what do you see from there? You see from there that anytime a shaliach deviates from the terms of the agency, the entire shlichos is batal. Therefore, I'll say, because she was only entitled to go ahead and collect a mana, and therefore she was only entitled to seize a parcel of land worth a mana, when she seizes a parcel worth a mana and a dinar, she has effectively voided her shlichos. Because remember, as we said, as we established yesterday, when an amana or when an amana sells off property from the estate, she is a shaliach of the yisumim. So now the fact that she sees property she wasn't allowed to, because it was worth more than her ksuva, the entire agency is void, and therefore michra batal. So you see from here that whenever you deviate from the terms of the agency, lemaisa again, the entire agency is void. So amar Rav Puna, Rav Nasan, lo, that's not the case. Bida ozil. The case, actually, the reason why it's batal is because of Bosai, she undersold the property. Look at Rashi b'da ozil, u'mishum hachri michra batal, the ta'asaf, she machra shavadinar, shavadmanavadinar, b'mara. To which the Gemara answers, the reason that it's batal is not because she sees the piece of property worth more than her ksuva. The reason why it's batal is because she undersold the property. By a dinar. Now, but remember, I want to be clear, don't get confused just because it sounds like one coin. A dinar is not an insignificant amount of money. You're thinking like a pruta, right? No, remember, a dinar is still a significant amount of money. The proof to that is you could have land worth a dinar. So, meaning, she undersold it, granted, not by a huge amount, but it's still an undersell. So the Gemara says, so what the Gemara is entertaining is the possibility that the reason why this sale is batal is because Lemaisa, she undersold it. To which the Gemara says, top of Tzadik test, Hami de Seifa bida ozil havi resha bida lo ozil. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, so now we have to assume that the cases in the Mishnah are going to reflect different halachic realities. If now you're going to tell me that the Seifa is a case of where she undersold it, then the resha has to be a case where she didn't undersell it. Diktani Seifa, Havi resha bida lo ozil. Diktani Seifa, Haisek suvasa arba meo zuzi. Remember the Seifa of the Mishnah said, let's say shedik suva worth 400 zuz. So what happened? She sold off the first three parcels for a mana each. All good. Now she has to sell off the last parcel. But here's the issue. The last parcel is worth a mana and a dinar. Remember, now she's only owed another mana from the estate for Ksuva. She tried to collect the 300. She has 100 more to collect. She seizes that last piece of property to sell it off. That last piece of property is worth a mana and a dinar. And what happens? She only sells it off for a mana. So what's the halacha? Michra batal, the shalkulan michran kayim. So we'll say the last sale, the last transaction, where she took a piece of land that was worth a mana and a dinar, and she sold it off for a mana, that transaction is batal. But the previous three are what? The previous three ultimately are good. So the Gemara says, Vishal Kulan Mikron Kayim. So we'll say, so what do you see from there? So this case is also a case, Bida Oza, where she's underselling it. So we'll say, here's the issue. The issue with the Gemara is grappling with now is, the Mishnah doesn't need to teach me the same principle over and over. So if we've already established that the Seifa, the end of the Mishnah, is teaching me the concept that when she undersells the property, that transaction is void, then I don't need the Reisha to teach me the same exact case. To which the Gemara says, lo, Reisha v'Seifa b'da'ozom. It's not true. In fact, both the Reisha and the Seifa are dealing with cases where she undersold the property, and in both cases, therefore, again, the agency is void. Why do I need two different cases to teach me that where she undersold the property, the agency is void? V'Seifa ha'kamash balan, Taima de ozil bidiyasmi. So here's what's interesting. See, in the Seifa, the reason what it's teaching me is, the reason why the transaction is void is because she undersold orphan's property. Aval bidida michra kayim. But Lamaisa, had she undersold her own property, then ultimately, again, the sale would be valid. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. De ozil bidiyasmi. Mr. Schoenfeld, good morning. I'm not calling you Mr. Schoenfeld. Right? So the Gemara says, fine, look at Rashi. You're not at work now, right? So the Gemara says over here, the ozil v'diyasmi, Rashi says, shelo haya lo od aleim klum shahari ba'achron ta'asa. So what happened over here? Good morning. So what happened here? Remember, in the case ultimately of the Seifa, where she sold off three properties and now is selling off the fourth. So when she undersells it, she's making a mistake again in her own property. In the Yisomim's property. That's the orphan's property. So I understand in a case like that, if she's making a mistake in the orphan's property, lemaisa again the sale will be void. Aval b'didah. Look at Rashi. This is actually very interesting. Kigon shetasa itzel echad min arishonim. Let's say she had made a mistake. We'll say this is in the case of the 400 zuz in the 400 zuz ksuva. So, remember, let's say she sells off in the first three, where she's still collecting, so to speak, for her own. The toes would be for her. Shahari yeshla od ligvos, umachar mehen, michra kayim, de'ein ona'a bekakos, v'kol shekin, she'in kan shesus shir ona. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So the Gemara is making a suggestion here that Lamaisa, I might have thought the following. I might have thought that where do we say that the transaction is void? That's when she makes the mistake in the sale of property or impacting the Yisomim. Like, for example, Rabbi said, when she makes a mistake in that last... Let me say it differently. If she goes ahead and she undersells any of those earlier properties, so the truth is, she's left holding the bag on that because Lamaisa, the value of that land is counted towards her ksuva. So therefore, if she suffers the loss, that's okay. It's her problem. She chooses that. But Lamaisa, when it comes to the last parcel, If she makes a mistake with that last parcel, so who is that impacting? That's not impacting her anymore. That's impacting the Yisomim. So the Gemara said, "V'taima de ozel b'diyasmi avav b'dida michra kayim." But the Gemara said, one second, I can learn out that same concept, that when do we say that an underselling of the land will void the sale? That's only if it impacts the Yisomim. But if it just impacts her, meaning just, if it impacts her, then the Maisa, the sale is not. But we already learned that from the Reisha.
The value of the last piece count the same way?
I'm sorry?
Then why doesn't the value of the last piece count the same?
Because remember, that extra dinar that's being lost by the undersell of the land is Yisomim property. That's not hers. Remember, her ksuva is finished off at the 400. So that extra dinar that could have been received from.
How was she allowed to sell that piece anyway if it was worth too much?
So that's what we're seeing. So that's part of this whole discussion. That's the other piece of this discussion, which is saying that, remember, the whole thing we're trying to figure out is, can she sell that piece of property? Because the Havamina is that she shouldn't be able to, not the Havamina, one side to say she can't sell it at all because that's outside of the boundaries of her shlichus. The Havamina is, maybe she can, but Lamaisa just returned the other dinar to the Yisomim. The problem, of course, is now she undersells it, so Lamaisa, she's objectively causing a loss to the Yisomim, which should be grounds for just dismissal of the Shlichos from the beginning. Correct. 100 of it is hers. Not even just part of it. The overall majority of it is hers. Correct. So the Gemara says the following. But one second, we can learn this concept even from the Reisha. Let's say your ksuva was worth 200. Remember, this was the earlier case in the Mishnah. She has a ksuva worth 200. And she sells shavman masayim. Remember, she's a good business lady. And what happens? She takes, so she has a 200 zuz ksuva. And what happens? She goes in and she takes a 100 zuz piece of property and she sells it for 200 zuz. So she's able to double the profit from the land. So she's a bad business lady. And what happens? She takes a piece of property that's worth 200 zuz and she sells it for 100. So what's the halacha? This kabel ksuvasa. Rabbi say either way, her debt is satisfied. The idea is that whether she actually took a 100 zuz piece of property and sold it for 200, or she took 200 and sold it for 100, either way, her debt is satisfied. So the Gemara says, "Ma'u detima, what would I have thought? Hasam hu deistalka la mehai beis legamrei." So we'll say, I might have thought that in this case, remember, with this piece of property, her claim is totally removed from the estate. Look at Rashi. Hasam hu. In this case over here, where essentially she's going ahead and she's getting one piece of property, and ideally it's that one piece of property that totally takes care of her ksuva claim. So then again, that it totally takes care of her ksuva claim. But however, again, about hocha, now hocha also refers to the case of where she has a larger ksuva and she's selling off multiple parcels of land. I might have thought nigzar mona rishon ata mona acharon. I would have thought that Rabosa, even a mistake in the sale of one of the earlier pieces of land, should also void the transaction, lest you what? Lest you come to allow a mistake in the last piece of land. Because also remember what we've established. What we've established is that Lamaisa, again, if she's selling off multiple parcels of land to satisfy her ksuva, so mistakes in sales of earlier pieces of land is okay, because she'll have to bear the burden of that mistake. So for example, if she takes a piece of land that's worth a mana and a dinar, and she sells it for a mana, that's fine. Why? Because as far as payment of her ksuva goes, we count it as if what? She's received a mana and a dinar. So all she's done is she's left herself, she's hurt herself. However, again, when it comes to that last parcel of land, if she takes land that's worth a mana and a dinar, and she sells it for what? A mana. It's now, remember, all she had left on her claim was what? Was a mana. That extra dinar belongs to the Yisomim. So that's where ultimately we get ourselves into issue. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that therefore we should make a gzera, that any time she makes a mistake, even on any of the earlier parcels, you should void the sale. Why? Lest she come to make a mistake in the last one. Meaning, in other words, lest you come to confuse the last parcel with any of the earlier parcels. We should say that a mistake in any of the parcels, by definition, goes ahead and voids the sale. Kamashmalan that we don't say that. Kamashmalan that Rabbah say, if she makes a mistake in the sale of any of the earlier parcels, so those should has to bear the cost of it, but the sale still remains. It's only if she makes a mistake in the last parcel, where she's not hurting herself, but who is she hurting? She's hurting the Yisumim. That's the case where we'll say Mechra Batal. V'ika da Amri. Others have a different version of this. V'ika da Amri. Halo tibay lecha. Heicha da Amri. And we'll say, remember, the greater conversation we're in the midst of is trying to figure out about what happens when an agent deviates from the terms of the agency. That's the real issue we're focusing on over here. I appoint an agent to do A, the agent does, if the agent does B, that's not a shaila, right? If I go ahead and I tell the agent, you know, go out and buy me a loaf of bread, and he brings me back a cow, so then, again, obviously, you know, besides that I probably owe him some money, right? But the idea, everyone agrees that agency is void. The question, of course, is when the agent does what I want him to do, but also adds on something else, or we'll see, subtracts something else. That's the mice we're trying to figure out over here. So the Gemara says an ikadami. There's another version of this discussion. Well, so listen to this. If I told the shaliach, go and buy me a liska land, a lesech of land is a half a kor. It's a half a kor, and what happened? The shaliach goes out and buys a whole kor. So the shaliach bought twice as much land. Excuse me, I'm sorry, this is not buying. This is actually selling. This is selling. I tell the shaliach to go ahead and sell a lesech of land, and he goes ahead and sells two lesachim, a kor. He sells twice as much land. Devadai mosif al devarav. That we view that as what? We view that as a case of where he's simply adding on to my words. In other words, Rabosai, you see, here's the interesting part. If I tell him to sell a lesach of land, and he sells twice as much a kor, so that is a little bit easier. Why? Because included in what he did is the fulfillment of what I asked him to do. So clearly, again, so the first part of what he did, meaning selling the lesach, that stands. The additional part, selling the additional lesach, does not stand. But the first part of what he did is not voided because he's adding on to my words. Kiti ba'ilacha, where does the question really come up? The amrale zil zavin likura, va'azil v'zabin liliska. The question really comes up where I told him to sell a core of land, and he only sells half of that amount, he sells a lesach of land. My, what's the halacha in such a situation? So the question is, I told him to sell a core, he only sold half of that amount. So what is the status of the agent's sale? You hear this logic? If I tell him to go ahead and sell a lesach, and he sells a kor, has he done what I asked him to do? Yes, he's just added on to it, right? Remember, he did. I asked him to sell a lesach. He did sell a lesach, but he also sold an additional lesach. So from the Gemara's Havamina right now, he's done what I've asked him to do. He's just added on. So what I've asked him to do is done. The add-on, I have the ability to void because I didn't ask him to do that. However, again, let's look at the reverse. I tell him to go ahead and sell a kur. I tell him to sell a whole block of land. He only sells half of that amount. So the Gemara says, has he done what I asked him to do? So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. He says, my, mi aminar, amale de tawalacha avdi lacha, di lo mitztarchi lacha zuzi lo masas hajas bay. So we'll say, you know, you ever ask someone to do something and you give them specific instructions, please do it like this. And they come back and they did it differently. So what happens? And they explain to you, oh, I thought it would be better for you to do it like this. And you want to tell the person, why can't you just listen to what I said? Right? Do it like the way I told you to do it. So what happens? So the shaliach, the agent goes ahead and tells the shaliach to sell off a kor. The agent sells a lesach. So he comes back. The agent says, oh, I did you a favor. Because the truth is, you're supposed to remember, from a Talmudic perspective, there's generally people were very reticent to sell off land. And the reason you would really only sell off land is if you needed to liquidate the asset to purchase something. You needed the money. You needed cash. So the shliach says to the mishlach like this. You know, I figured you're liquidating the land because you need money, but it could be you don't really need all of that money. And the problem is if you get too much money from your land, you're not going to be able to go back and repurchase the land. So I did you a favor and I sold just a smaller parcel. Look, It's not a bad thing. You could always go back and what? We could always go back and what? Sell the second parcel later on. So on one hand, we could say that the shaliach has a good point to the mishaliach. And again, he's not doing something that's irreversible. You could always sell off that second parcel. But instead of selling off a huge block of land at once, sell off a smaller parcel. And if you need the additional money, you'll sell off the additional parcel. O Dilma, on the other hand, the Mishaleach, the principal could say, Lo nechali delef shu shtari ilavi. So the Mishaleach says, I don't want a whole bunch of shtaros. So we'll say, see, here's the problem. You're right. Can I go back and now sell the other half a core? I can. I will say, this is very interesting. From the Gemara's perspective, from the principal's perspective, you don't like to have a lot of deeds of sale. Why does it look bad if you have a lot of deeds of sale? It looks like you're liquidating your assets. If you're liquidating your assets, what does that look like? It looks like financial distress. If you have a picture of financial distress, so both, I remember again, this is all very, very logical, very interesting. You have difficulty securing lines of credit. People, right, remember again, if somebody wants to lend you money, the first thing they're going to look at is what's your asset base? And if they see that there's a record of shtaros that you just sold off a whole bunch of parcels of land, that's a huge red flag. So therefore, again, the Mishaleach says, no, I understand your point, but if I'm going to sell, I'd rather liquidate enough of a chunk that gives me the cash that I need to be able to do something. Could it be that, yes, I won't need to use all of that cash and I'll regret perhaps selling some of that land? That's possible, but I'd rather do that than erode my financial standing. So the Gemara is not ruling over here. The Gemara is just putting out there the two sides to the question. So Rabbi Chanin Misura said, Tashma Nasan lo dinar shal zahav. Rabbi, listen to this case. So the Mishaleach said to the Shaleach, he gives him a dinar shal zahav. Rabbi, just to give us a dinar shal zahav, one gold dinar is the equivalent of 6 slum. Just keep this in mind. One gold dinar, 6 slum. So what happened? I give the Shaliach a dinar, 6 slaim, va'amr lo havelech chalok. Go buy me a shirt. Get me a nice shirt for 6 slaim. V'halach v'hevi lo b'shalosh chalok u'b'shalosh talis. And what happens? The Shaliach comes back. And what happened? He bought me a shirt for 3 slaim, and he bought me a coat. A chalok. Chalok literally means a cloak. Right? He bought me a coat for 3 slaim. So we'll say now, and then what happens? Then it turns out that the money was hegdish. Right, the money was consecrated. Turned out. Okay, so we both made a mistake. Turned out the money was hektish. So what's the halacha? Shneim ma'alu. Both of us, meaning me, the principal, and the shaliach, both of us committed mi'ila. I armet b'shlam ha'shliach ki agav na'osa shlichuso u'mosif al devarav havi mishum hachi bala bayis ma'al. So we'll say, if you say that the shaliach was following instructions, he just simply added on to those instructions, then I understand why the bala bayis, why the principal also committed mi'ila. Because we also remember, again, I mentioned this yesterday, mi'ila is one of the only situations in halacha where we say yesh liach ledvar avera. Normally, again, if I go ahead and I instruct someone to do something illegal, so at the end of the day, the person who commits the act is liable. I, the principal, am not. Mi'ila is the one exception to that. That if I instruct someone to go ahead and, let's say, do something with consecrated funds, and they follow my instructions, I, the principal, am liable as well. So we'll say, so in this case over here, I told the shaliach, take 6 slaim and buy me a shirt. What happened? And no one realized, but it was hektish money, it was consecrated money. It turns out he went ahead and he bought me a shirt for three, and a cloak for three. And the Mishnah and the Braisa says that both me and the shaliach committed mi'ila. So what do you see from here? So the only way I committed mi'ila is if the shaliach is considered to be doing my shlichos, my agency. So you see from here that what? Now what did the shaliach do? The shaliach did what I asked him. He bought me a shirt, but what? He added on to it, and he also bought the cloak. So you see from here that what? You see from here that lamaisa, when the shaliach adds on the first part of the shlichos that he was commanded to do, still stands. It's just the additional part that's technically voidable. Ela I amrit ma'avir al dvarav havi. But if you say that when the shliach deviates from his instructions, then the entire shlichos is voided. Amai ma'al. Then Rabbo say, then why is it that I, the principal, committed mi'ila? It turns out that what? That when he violated the terms of the agents, he actually was not acting on my behalf. If he wasn't acting on my behalf, then Lamai said, there's no mi'ila. To which the Gemara says, Hacham ha'askina, what's the case? Oh, the I silei shav sheish b'shalosh. So Rabbo say, see, we got all excited because we thought, what was the case? He got the shirt on sale. Or I should say differently, he just found the cheaper shirt. But it turns out that no, he didn't find the cheaper shirt. Instead, what he did is he got the same shirt, but he was able to get it for less money. So I will say, so in this case, he's not really materially changing from the substance of the agency. The substance of the agency was, I want a shirt for 6 slime. What did he get me? He got me a shirt for 6 slime. But Baruch Hashem, right? He was able to go ahead and get it for the purchase price was for 3 slaim. So the Gemara says, the Isil Shabashesh Bishalosh, Ihachi Shliach Amaimal. If that's the case, Rabbi Yosei, then why, bless you, then why did the shliach commit me? Rabbi Yosei, meaning, if it turns out that the shliach was just doing exactly what I asked him to do, then he shouldn't be liable for me'ila at all. Why is he liable for me'ila? Oh, I'll tell you why. Atalus, he's liable for me'ila, why, Rabbi Yosei? Because Lamaisa, he did something I didn't ask him to do. What did he do? He bought the cloak, right? So remember, again, yes, I committed mi'ilah because the shliach did exactly as I told him to do. He got me a 6 sela shirt, but the shliach committed mi'ilah because the ma'aseh, he bought something that he wasn't supposed to. The talis, ihach, he ema seifa. But if that's the case, look at the end of this b'raisa. What does the end of the b'raisa say? Rabbi Yehuda omer, af bazeh balabayis lomal. Even in this case, the balabayis did not commit mi'ilah. Why? V'vdei shiach olomer, choluk gogol ha'yisi mevakish, v'ata v'esli choluk katan v'ra. So yet Rabbi Yehuda says, even in this case, the Balabayis did not go ahead and commit me the wire bos, right? Because the Balabayis could say, I wanted you to get me a good shirt, and you brought me back a bad shirt. Myra, what does that mean, bad shirt? Ra bidomim. It means you bought me, again, a cheap shirt. Why, how is that? So, the Amarlei, I isis li b'shis, kol shekin da havashava tartisri. Because the Mishalech, the principal, I can say to the Shalech, listen, follow instructions. I told you to bring me back a shirt for 6 slun. Because it's very nice now, you got me my 6 sela shirt for 3 sela. But had you actually paid 6 sela, what would have happened? Maybe you could have gotten me something that was worth 12 sela. So you deviated from the terms of the agency, and I'm not happy with what you did. Dekanami diktani, mod rabbi who did the kitness. We could go ahead and we can infer that this is true, because the Braisa goes on, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, in a case of kitness, in a case of where a person is purchasing legumes, shishnei amalu, that both the shaliach and the mishaliach committed mi'ilah. Why? Shakitness b'sela, v'kitness b'pruta, because they're both saying, remember, it's the same legumes you buy for a sela, same legumes you buy for a pruta. I will say what that means is that if you look at Rashi, Rashi says shakitnis pesela, he kitnis bepruta, fi cheshbon prutas pesela. The mishum dezabin tfeilo mosli gabei ki demesayva azal ba'asra demzane bekami. Well, says we're going to see there are certain things that were just sold by units, by sold either by weight or by units. And the truth is, even if he bought it in large quantity, it didn't make any difference. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. So Rabbi Yehuda wanted to suggest the following. Rabbi Yehuda wants to suggest that when I tell the shaliach to go ahead and buy me the shirt for 6 sela, and it turns out that he says, well, good news, I bought you a shirt that's worth 6 sela, but I bought it for you for 3 sela, and I used the other 3 sela to buy a talis, to buy a cloak. Rabbi Yehuda says such an agency will be void. Why? Because I asked you to do something. I asked you specifically to go ahead and spend 6 sela on a shirt. And it's very nice that you got the same shirt for the same amount of money, or I should say for less amount of money, but had you spent the amount of money I wanted you to spend, you actually would have what? I would have gotten something that was even more valuable. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees in a situation where, again, the value of the item does not fluctuate at all, meaning it's sold in basic units, that Lamaisa, again, they both would be chayy for Me'ila. So the Gemara says, Hechi Dami, what's the case? Ilema ba'asra demezabni b'shuma, Hecha diyayev le'sela mosli gabei tfei. So we'll say, if you want to say that it's a situation where what? Where they're selling the object b'shuma, meaning at a valuation, and therefore, the more you buy, the cheaper the price is. So then the Gemara says, Amra Papa Ba'asra Dikaili Bekani. We're talking about a place where what? Where when they sell, the Gemara is trying to figure out what the kitness case is. What's the case of the legumes? So if it's a case where the more you buy, the cheaper it is, that's one possibility. But the Rapapa says, no, what's the case of where they measure out the kitness Bekani? Both say Kana is a measurement. So they go ahead and they sell the kitness by established Kana measurements. The Amrlei, Kana bepruta, where each Kana is worth a pruta, and therefore, you know, both said the more you buy does not in any way impact the price. Therefore, look at Rashi, Kana Kama pruta, im ata chafetz yoser shalach od v'kach. If you want to buy more, you have to pay more. V'im reisha chaluk ra mamish kamar, shenush amirim Rashi, she'inu shava ela shalosh, kavasika bekitnis. Do Amrlei havali besela pulin, v'havila bechatzi sela, kishava chatzi sela, bechatzi sela achar, hevilo min achar. So also remember, in these kind of cases, where lemaisa, again, the mishaleach appoints the shliach to buy an object that has a set price, and the shliach goes ahead and doesn't buy that exact amount, in that case, again, the agency is void because the shaliach violated the terms of the agency. Tashma, haisa ksuvasa arba meozuz. Also another price. So let's say the ksuvah was worth 400 zuz. Machra lezebemana or lezebemana lachron yafemana bedina bemanash. So let's say, remember again, quoting the same thing, same case we had in the Mishnah. So let's say a woman has this ksuva worth 400 zuz. So she sells off three pieces of property for 100 zuz each. Okay? Now she comes to the last piece of property. And what happens? The last piece of property is worth a mana and a dinar. And she sells it off for only a mana. So what's the halacha? Shal acheron batal v'shal kulan michran kayim. The last sale is void. Because the Rav says she undersold it. But the earlier sales are all valid. What's the case here, Rabbi Osai? The case over here is Lamaisa, where they were small pieces of land. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shakula Mikran Kayim, Fahaha, Dilizabuni Ba'arba Mea Shadrua, Umachra Larisha Mimana, Tahinu Zabuni Kura, Vizamali Liska. Now, Rabbi Osai, here's what's very interesting. This is a kasha, this is a question. Rabbi Osai, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. If a woman has a claim, if a woman has a claim for 400 zuz against the estate, so what is she entitled to? She's entitled to a 400 zuz piece of land. That's what she's entitled to. And she's entitled to go ahead and sell off that property to, let's say, one person, one transaction. And yet, what is the Braisa talking about over here? Where she sold off multiple smaller pieces of land. So the Gemara says, does this not sound like the case of where the shaliach goes ahead and appoints the agent to go ahead and sell a kur, but instead of selling a kur, what does he do? He only sells a lesach. In which case, again, we entertain the possibility that the agency is void. Because remember, four shtaros, right? All these different shtaros. And yet here she's going ahead and what? Selling off these parcels of land to all different people. To which the Gemara says, no. The case over here is if shishi amar kidam rav shishi ravidi bikatini. The truth is, you're right, in Achinami, if a woman has a claim against 400 zuz in the estate, and there is a 400 zuz parcel of land, absolutely, we would prefer that that's what she would sell. One sale, one transaction, one block of funds. Here's the problem. He doesn't have that. What he has is instead a number of, I will say here's the other important piece, small, non-contiguous pieces of land. Because remember, again, I'm about to say, if you have contiguous parcels, so right, you can make the claim that maybe you could sell that to one person. But for non-contiguous parcels, she's going to have to engage in multiple transactions. Hachanami bikatini. So too, this is the case in the Mishnah over here, of where you're talking about small, non-contiguous parcels of land. So the Gemara says the following, Pshita amrle echad v'lo l'shnayim. Ha amrle. Supposed to listen to this. So if the shaliach said to the mishaliach, look at Rashi, Amar le'echa v'lushnayim, afilam timtzlamar zobin likura, v'zobin liliska, machru kayim, hacha batel, degali dait dekapit ba'afushe shtar. Shtar, supposed to listen to this. So even if you want to go with the case, let's say you want to say, where a man says to a shaliach, sell from your core of land, and the shaliach only sells half that amount, sells a lesach. So everyone will, so let's even assume for a moment that shlichus is good. But if the mishalech, the principal, said to the agent, only sell to one person and not two, because you know what the chat is, at least if you're selling it to one person, we could still potentially get away with what? With one shtar, right? We could write both sales into one shtar. So let's say the principal says to the shaliach, I only want you to sell to one person and not two. He explicitly says not two. So then Ross says, in that case, let's say the shliach then goes to sell to two people. So what's the halacha? The shliach goes to sell to two people, so the sale is void. Why? Because it's obvious. Because there, he's violating the explicit instructions of the principal to only sell to one. However, Amrali le'echad stama. But I will say, what happens if the principal says to the agent, why don't you go sell this to a person? But he doesn't say explicitly not to two. Not to two. So what's the halacha in that case? That's stama. Rav Huna amar le'echad v'lushnayim. Rav Huna says no. If he says one, then what? You don't have to say only one and not two, but rather when you say to one person, what does that mean? It means to one person. Rav Chistav Rabba of Rav Huna da'amri tarvayu le'echad v'afil l'shnayim le'echad v'afilu l'meya. No, not true. When the principal is not explicit on his insistence to only sell to one person, that gives the agent the possibility or the ability to what? To sell it to as many people as he wants. So we'll say, this you should understand is like a major, this is a major machlokes. Because what this is saying, I'll tell you exactly where this comes up. So the mishlaich, the principal, gives the agent, gives some instructions, go sell a core of land. A core of land, there's a lot of land. And he says, go sell this land to someone. So there's a machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Chista about where if he explicitly says, I only want you to sell to one person and not to two, okay, then it's clear, he wants to sell to one. Let's say he doesn't explicitly say that, he just says, go sell it to someone. So Rav Huna says, well, one means to one. Rav Chista and Rav Huna say, no, what it means is get the job done. How do you get the job done? Whether you sell that to one people, you sell that to 10 people by subdividing the lot. So that's the shaliach's prerogative. So the Gemara says, Ikla Rav Nachman the Surah. So Rav Nachman once went to Surah, Olegabei Rav Chista Rabba Rav Huna, and Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna came to visit him. Amrule, they said, Kiya Gavnamai, what is the halach in this kind of case? So we'll say in this case where Lemaisa, the Mishaleach said to the shaliach, go and sell the property to someone. Does the shaliach have the ability to sell it to more than one person? Amar lehu le'echad v'afil l'shnayim le'echad afil l'meya. To which Rav Nachman said, no, if he doesn't explicitly say only to one, then what? Then lemais, again, he could sell it to whoever he wants. Amru le afagav detosh shaliach, even though, again, the shliach made a mistake. We'll say, look at Rashi. Va'afagav the tallish shliach, lumachar bezol neima nami demecho kaim. Now, is this true even if the shliach made a mistake and undersold the property? To which Rav Nachman responds, amaluhu the tallish shliach lo kamina. No. We're not talking about whether the shliach made a mistake in selling the property. We'll say, because that's a different, you didn't ask me that question. You asked me the question that if the principal empowered the agent to sell off the core of land, and he said, sell it to one guy, but he didn't explicitly say, don't sell it to two. So does that tie the shliach's hands? Is the shliach only able to sell it to one, or could he sell it to multiple people? And Rav Nachman says, I'm telling you, it means he can sell it to multiple people. That was the question you asked me. If a shliach undersells property, that's a different discussion. So the Gemara says, Amrulei, they said, back to Rav Nachman, V'ha amar mar ein ona bekakos. Rabosei, they're pushing this point. Even if the shaliach undersells the property, Rabosei, so this they want to posit, these other rabbis want to tell Rav Nachman that the transaction should still stand. Why should the transaction stand? Ein ona bekakos. Rabosei, the concept of ona means of undercharging or overcharging. The halacha is then any transaction. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. All right, so positive reinforcement is important, right? So the idea over here is that you're both saying there's a concept of ana. So ana says, I want to sell you my car. So let's say it turns out that I overcharged or undercharged by a sixth. It was right. So the halacha by ana is more than a sixth or less than a sixth is the sale is voided. 1/6, so parties have the option to void. Less than a sixth is negligible, and the transaction stands. There is a principle of ein ona bekarkos. There is no overcharging and undercharging by property. And I will say the reason for that is why? Because lemaisa, real estate has incredibly subjective value, right? Real estate fluctuates, and the truth is, again, I will say we know, you know, for example, if the field next to mine goes for sale, so you who don't live there might be willing to pay A. I might be willing to pay a huge premium because it's a field that's contiguous to mine. So therefore, again, they said to Rav Nachman, but there's no because they will say, I understand, no because of course opens up a whole Pandora's box for us, for everything we just learned in the Ksuva case about underselling or overselling or underselling that last field, which we'll come back to. So they said to Rav Nachman, even if the shaliach makes a mistake, that only real estate attorneys get excited about this, right? So what happens? So therefore, what they're saying to Rav Nachman is, even in a case where what? Lemaisa, the shaliach made a mistake and undercharged and overcharged, it's okay, the shlichus should still stand. Rav Nachman responds, no. Hani mi lehecha de ta balabais. Rabosei, you're right. When do we say in ona bekarkos? That's when the balabas, when the owner of the field is selling it. But Rabbi says, if the shliach makes a mistake and undersells the land, then what? Amar le, litakune shadarticha velo la'avuse. So Rabbi says, this is very important. I could accept the fact that there is no overcharging or undercharging by land. Let's accept that as a halachic premise. But still, when my shaliach goes ahead and undersells my land, that transaction is void. You know why? It's not that the transaction is void, Rabbi says. It's that what? The agency is void. And if the agency is void, then memela, then what happens by extension? The transaction is void. Why is the agency void? Because the mishalech, the principal, can say to the agent, the whole purpose of this agency was to help me out. If you do something that is detrimental to me, then by definition, you are not acting in my capacity. If you're not acting in my capacity, then it turns out that you sold land that you had nothing to do with. If you sold land that had nothing to do with, then the transaction itself is void. How do we know that we make a distinction between what the shaliach does and what the balabais does? It's very interesting. Meaning, also, because the Gemara is really asking is, we have the principle of shlucho shal adam kimoso, that a person's agent is an extension of themselves. So I would say that the same way that we say ein ona bekarkos by the principle, we should also say what? Ein ona bekarkos by the shaliach. How do I know that we can make a distinction between what the shaliach does and what the principle does? I'll tell you. Tanya, the Gemara says like this. I'll tell you how. This nan, home of the shlucho, say v'tarum. If a person says to shaliach, tithe my produce. So we'll say, so remember again, tithing, taking shruma, doesn't have an explicit shiur. There are three different shiurim. If you're generous, you give a 40th. If you're a benoni, average generosity, you give a 50th. And if you are stingy, you give a 60th. So let's say I say to my shaliach, go ahead and what? Go ahead and tithe my property. And what happens? And the shaliach, I don't tell the shaliach an amount. So how much should he tithe? So the Gemara says, Torim kedas balabais. So the shaliach hopefully knows my giving patterns, and therefore he should give in accordance with what he thinks I would normally give. But let's say again the shaliach doesn't know my giving patterns. So he goes ahead and what? He goes ahead and takes what an average person would do, 1/50th of my produce. But Rabosai, if he goes ahead and he makes a mistake by a tenth one way or the other, meaning let's say instead of tithing a 50th, he tithes a 40th or a 60th. So lemaisa again, truma, the designation still stands. So what I see, you see that a shliach has up to this 1/10 flexibility. The ilu gabi balabayis, Tanya, but yeah, when it comes to the balabayis, what's the halacha? Taram va'ala biyado, afilu echad me'esim trumasa truma. Yet Rabbi say, if I'm tithing my own produce, and it turns out that I separate an amount, and it turns out that the amount is 1/20th of my produce, which I will say again is a much more significant amount. What is the halacha? The designation stands. So you see from here that what? Even if I make a huge mistake and I end up tithing much more than I originally thought, that designation stands. Yet the shaliach is limited to what? A much smaller margin of error. So we see from here that lamaisa, even though we say shluch shadon kimosa, a person's agent is like himself, but lamaisa what? But lamaisa again, the margin of error that a shaliach has is much less than what the principal has. Therefore, same idea over here, that even though we say einona bekarkos, einona bekarkos applies to the mishaleach, applies to the principal, but einona bekarkos will not apply ultimately to the agents. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's just finish the Mishnah. So we'll say, what's that? A woman has a ksuva of 400 zuz, and she sells off three parcels of land for 100 each, and now she sells off the last parcel. It's worth a mana and a dinar, and she sells it off for a mana. So what's the halacha? Sha'achram batal, v'shakula mechrakayim. The last one is batal, but all of the other ones ultimately, again, are kayim, ultimately stand. Look at Rashi. So the Gemara says, Tashma, both of them are going back for just a moment. So Tashma, haisek suvasa, v'i'afu shishtari kapeidu nihi, nihi nami de yosumim lo galu datayu, anan miyad diyad yosumim ba'ina lemeavi, isla lemeimar machram batal. So I remember going back for just a moment. So now remember, what we've just established beforehand is that einachinami, einona bekakos. Yes, there is a concept that if you undersell or oversell property, the sale stands. That's only if it's the principal themselves who is going ahead and making that sale. But if it's the shaliach who undersells or oversells, what's the halacha? The transaction is void. Why is the transaction void? The both say, not really because of a din of ona. The transaction is void. Why? Because the agency is void. Because the primary point of agency is to benefit the principal. But if you do something that disadvantages the principal, the agency is void. Now the Gemara jumps back. Now the Gemara says, we just established before before that, what? When you sell off property, it's in the best interest of the seller to have as few documents as possible, as few shtaros as possible. It doesn't look like he's liquidating all of his assets, and yet here you have a woman who has a ksuva 400 zuz, and yet what is she doing? She's selling off all of these properties, all of these different shtaros. How do we allow her to do that? We, the Beis Din, should step in on behalf of the Yisomim and say, you can't, you know, you gotta find a piece of property, you have to do one thing. Either find a piece of property to sell one piece of property, or sell multiple pieces of property to one person and make your one transaction, to which the Gemara says, Bikatini, it's impossible, because you're dealing with small, non-contiguous pieces of land. Because of small, non-contiguous pieces of land, you will what? You will not be able to find one seller who will be willing to purchase all of them. Therefore, we allow her to sell them each off to individual sellers, each individual purchasers, even though that will result in what? Multiple shtaros, but that's the only for it to go to ksuva. I will say we'll stop over here. Again, we'll have to find the time to go back, because again, this discussion about the ability of a shaliach to deviate from the instructions of the mishaliach while still maintaining the integrity of the shlichus is an interesting discussion. Maybe tomorrow we'll look at the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat. All right, shakoyach. Shavuos.